Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer, joins us. Jeff, it feels good. We can say finally, it's behind us.
It's been a while. I've almost forgotten like how to react. This felt like the game that the Saints should win, right? So it's hard to be too over the moon about it. But what makes it feel so relieving is if the Saints didn't find a way to win this game. And the Saints kind of just did their thing where they were close and then they lost it at the end. And the conversation would be, man, this is going really poorly. You're one of two teams without winning the NFL. And, you know, how long is it going to be before they win a game? The Patriots just beat the Bills on Sunday Night Football. They're coming to town next week. That's not going to be an easy matchup. So we can at least shift the conversation from that to, all right, what are we building here? Right? Like, where are things going? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think anyone watches this team and is like, they're a contender. But can you be a contender? What do you have to build around? What are these kernels of quality that you can build out and create a sustainable long-term winner from? And being able to go win a game like that, I think that's promising, right? Like, you're still 1-4. There's still a lot of bad. But you have kind of that taste of positivity. You can hopefully get on a streak here. Maybe you can beat the Patriots next week. You win two games in a row. You kind of create that culture of winning that seems to have disappeared. You know, the dome was hot yesterday. It took a little while. I think the crowd was a little hesitant to really kind of go all in until that long touchdown. But the vibes in there were great, the way that game went. And, you know, if all that happens this season, and I've said this before, is you remind yourself how to be a dominant home team and play better at home and win games in front of your home crowd and get your home crowd excited. That's a positive thing. That's moving in the right direction. Cause I think as we kind of went through the Dennis Allen era, one of the biggest sins of that era was not defending the Caesars Superdome or whatever you wanted to call the Superdome at the time. Like, it was, hey, you know, we're going to come home and the fans are expecting bad football. The fans are expecting a loss, and the energy in the building was reflective of that. That's why you see road team takeovers, because they expect to walk into the Superdome and win that game. So why not take a vacation to New Orleans for the week and have a good time and watch your team beat up on the Saints? So no, I think that's what this win is for me. It's kind of a sign that things are heading in the right direction, and we'll see how it goes from here.
You and I, for the past 3 weeks, talked about a couple of things that they were able to overcome in this game, and that's what I was excited about. One, Spencer Rattler being 21-31, 225 yards, his longest, 87 yards, you know, throwing the ball down the field. Taysom Hill throws the ball for a 19-yard reception. And Olave, you know, has, Shahid's got a 28-yard average in receptions, four receptions, and Olave with seven. And it seems like for the first time this year, we've been able to make some receptions down the field at key moments, right, which was exciting. And Rattler not throwing an interception, which is good. because our opponent, Jackson Dart, threw two. And our opponent had more penalties than we had. So I love it whenever the opponent has bigger problems than the problems we've been experiencing.
Yeah, you know, the bizarre thing about that game is it was like a shot-for-shot remake. If you go back to the 2023 season, the Bears came to the Superdome, and it was Tyson Bagent in one of his first starts of his career, and the Saints had five takeaways in that game, and it was fittingly Paulson Adebo, who had the game of his life, who was on the Giants team that the Saints beat yesterday. Because when you could force five turnovers, everything gets a lot easier. And you can skate over some of the issues because they didn't become a factor. The red zone is a problem. The Saints are 29th in the NFL in red zone efficiency. You got to get better there. They were 0-3 in that game. And again, it was glossed over by the fact that they scored it from inside their own 20-yard line twice. And they failed to score from inside the Giants' 20-yard line three times. But no, I did like, you know, when you look at Spencer Rattler and how he was able to play, the most impressive thing from that game, he was pressured on 53% of his dropbacks. He did not get sacked one time. And when I watched Spencer Rattler playing, like, yes, you want to see more explosive plays. You want to see him get a little bit more aggressive. But avoiding negative plays and particularly avoiding sacks is probably the single greatest point of development for him in this season. I think he's been sacked 9 times through 5 weeks. It was closer to 19 through 5 weeks last year. So, no, I mean, you're going to still try to hunt those shot plays. I think he needs to be a little bit more aggressive in taking them and not always settling for a scramble. The scramble is always going to be there if he doesn't like the look. But you saw, you know, and he mentioned this in his post game, you know, just one of those plays in a game, just hitting a big play, and that doesn't have to be an 87-yard catch and run, although that's always nice. You could see what that did for that game. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, everyone liked it, right? The dome went nuts, and you could tell, like, everyone on the sideline, the offense, the defense, there was just a shot in the arm for that entire group. And at that point, the Saints were down 14-6. It didn't feel like they were in control of that game, right? And you get that play, you get a stop on defense, suddenly you're in control, you're dominating, and you win that game going away. The Giants had turnovers on their final six possessions because I count a turnover on downs as a turnover. The Giants turn the ball over on every single one of their second half possessions. And that's complimentary football, right? Like, the offense did enough. The defense took you home. And it's how the Giants beat the Chargers last week, is the defense set up the offense to play winning football. And the Saints did the same thing, and they took advantage. And, you know, getting that monkey off Spencer's back, I mean, just getting that first win. And it's in for Kellen Moore, but Spencer had that kind of 0-10 hanging over his head. When we went out to Seattle a few weeks ago, there was a guy in the stands with an 0-8 sign. Like, it's been getting thrown in his face every week. He's done a good job of handling it, you know. And so it's just cool to see him have that moment, and we can stop talking about that.
Yeah, and like you said, the energy in the dome was good. And, you know, because we're getting to that point now, if we weren't going to – I was more concerned – about really just being competitive, right? Because you and I talked about this too. If you're not competitive, the fans turn off.
Yeah. Oh, no question. And, you know, again, and like I've kind of said this already, but, you know, if you can at least create a culture where the fans go to the Superdome and expect to see good football, that's something. That's something to build on, right? Winning on the road is hard. Like, you're not going to win a high percentage of your road games. You have to be a consistent winning football team. You have to defend your home field, make that a miserable place for opposing teams to play, make it an exciting place for the home fans to go and spend their Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and then find ways to steal some games on the road and beat the bad teams on your schedule. That's what the Saints used to do, right? Like, I remember, even before I lived here, I remember, you know, I grew up watching the Giants, right? And I vividly remember there was a Monday night football game. It might have been like 2012, 2013. And I was watching it, and I remember watching the Giants go into the Superdome and just feeling like this sense of existential dread. Like, the Giants have no chance in this game because that's such a difficult place to play. It's such an imposing place to play. And that just hasn't been the case over the last few years. But I felt like that was the case yesterday. And maybe that's just the Giants thing. The Saints just dominate the Giants. I tweeted during the game, like, what fans in the building were kind of learning in real time is that the Giants are the decade-long NFL league leaders in plays that create losing football. And that's what it was. I mean, the Giants just shot themselves in the foot. Like, we can give the Saints defense all the credit in the world. Jackson Dart literally fumbled a ball by kneeing it out of his own hands to start the second half. Like they took advantage, but the Giants shot themselves in the foot. There was a wide open flea flicker that Jackson Dart left about 15 yards too short. Terrell Burgess made a great play breaking it up, but like that's more about the Giants than the Saints. Darius Slayton dropped a ball that hit him right in the hands downfield, and these are opportunities for the Giants to extend their 14-3 lead or 14-6 lead. So, you know, like a lot of it is about the, like, you know, taking advantage of the mistakes other teams make. But yeah, I don't think Saints fans, I don't think Saints players are going to complain, because it feels like they just haven't gotten those breaks in the first four games of the season. And this week it kind of all came at once.
Yeah. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Yep. Six field goals for the Saints taken, four made. This has always been a very reliable part of, you know, Saints teams for decades, for the most part. How many is that this year already?
I believe he's missed five, which would be one more than he missed all of last season in Blake Groupie. Yeah, it's weird because you're talking about a guy who made four kicks, and you asked him to kick the ball six times, which is more than you want to ask a guy to kick. He did make the short kicks, which you appreciate. The misses were from 46 and 52. He made one from 53. I also do need to give him credit for making a tackle on the sideline. You know, keep in mind, this guy's like 5'7", 170, and he's going full send at a kick returner who makes one guy miss. If Ugo Amadi doesn't make that tackle and Blake doesn't make that tackle, it might be a return for a touchdown and change the momentum of the game. So you got to give him credit there. But no, there's been issues in that kicking game, and it hasn't just been field goals, right? Like we've seen him hit two kickoffs and give the opposing team the ball at the 40. I don't think he's handled that part of the game particularly well. And what's concerning me the most about Blake is not necessarily that he's missing. It's how he's missing and the fact that it's been all over the map. Like there was a kick a few weeks ago that was just a kind of a slice that is something we don't see from him. When he misses, it tends to be kind of straight, and if he starts it on the wrong line, it stays on the wrong line. In this game, you had kind of a heavy draw. The miss from 52 was a draw that looked good at the start and then kind of just leaked and leaked and leaked. If it was from 45, it probably goes in. It was from 52 and it leaked wide, and like, well, that's weird. You know, you don't see that from his kicks. And then his next kick was from 46, and it was a laser straight kick, but it was out to the right. And anyone who plays golf, you've had a situation where it's like, at least I have, where sometimes I'll miss, and it's like I missed because I hit it where I was aiming, because I didn't expect to hit it there, because I don't trust my own striking of the ball, and I expect it to slice, and it didn't slice, and so I end up hitting it in the water, right? And I felt like that's what happened there, is he didn't trust his own kick. So he left it. So he aimed too far to the right, thinking, oh, well, it's going to draw back on me. And it didn't come back and he missed. And, you know, I think golf and kicking has a lot in common. And he just looks like a guy who doesn't trust his own kicks. And that's concerning, because in a game like that, it didn't cost you, but you can see very easily, like, that's going to cost you a game at some point. And, you know, I don't think they're going to move on from him. I don't think they're going to change kickers this week. But you're at the point now where you have to at least start talking about it, because the first couple weeks, you'll be like, all right, you know, some struggles, he'll get it straightened out. We haven't seen him get it straightened out. And so, yeah, that's frustrating. That's definitely one of the low points from this game.
The concerning thing for me, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you know, we really are still struggling to establish a running game, right? So when you get on the short side of the field, a lot of times you're three and out, you're in field goal range, and what I think would ultimately be the difference maker in games to come for the Saints is the ability to hit that 45 to 55 yard field goal. And it's something that you've always relied on, and I agree with you. I think we will end up losing football games if we don't gain more consistency in that range. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and it makes me start to ask, okay, is he dealing with something? Is there an injury that we don't know about, or is it just inconsistency? Because I'd almost hope that there's an injury that we don't know about. Because kicking is a really mental thing. Like, you start to kind of get that kind of Chuck Knoblauch syndrome. And, you know, what I appreciate, you do have to say is, okay, so early in the season, the short misses were concerning. And the misses inside 40. He had two misses inside 40. Well, he straightened that out. He wasn't really an issue inside 40. And now the question is, okay, 40, 45 and out. He did make a 53-yarder in that game. So it's not like he can't make it. It's not like he's completely off kilter. It's just the consistency, and you thought that he had sorted that out last year. He had a great year last year. He had a great offseason, and this really came out of nowhere. And that's what's frustrating about it is, you know, it's not his DNA. You know he's got that consistent kicker in there, and you just haven't seen it. And you would hope that through 5 weeks of the season, whatever's kind of ailing him, he could get it sorted out. I think that the issue to me is not just Blake. Blake is kind of symptomatic of the larger issue, which is special teams has not been a strength of this team. And it's easy to forget because the Giants didn't kick off the ball at all in the second half, right? But their first three kickoffs, I would argue that all three kick returns to start the game were poorly executed. All three decisions to field the ball were the wrong ones. The Giants, the Saints had to start their first drive of the game at the 9. And it's because of the decision to return the ball rather than just take the touchback and get it at the 20. The second one, you didn't you fielded it and took a knee, but you fielded it in play, so you got the ball at the 20 instead of the 35. And the third one, I would argue, you should have done the same thing and take a touchback, but instead you got it at the 16. And like, we saw them blow up on special teams against the Seahawks. We've just seen those penalties on the kickoffs. Like, it seems like there's issues and issues that are not getting ironed out, and that's a problem for me, and that's something I think the Saints need to look at.
No doubt. Well, we look forward to next week's game, and we look forward to hearing you guys as the Saints take on the Patriots at home, 3:25 start on October 12th. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Have a great week.
Sounds good, Newell. I feel a winning streak. I feel it.
You feel it? I do, too. We'll be right back.
Right, Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.